Okay, good morning everyone. Hope everyone is well and I had a nice Shabbos. Obviously, I was just speaking with David about obviously the matzah here in America has changed dramatically this last past week with this unbelievable uptick of anti-Semitic attacks, which should scare all of us. But really what scares me more than anything is A, the fact that there are political members of this country that are not speaking out against it and perhaps are even causing some of it. And the fact that most of the major news media are very, very barely covering this story and what's going on. So we're reminded yet again that we're in Galus, and this is not where we belong, and this is not where we want to be. Baruch Hashem, it's been a very nice Galus. America has been very good to us, and we only hope and daven they should continue to be good to us. But we have to just, we always be mechazik in ourselves that this is Galus, and we hope that there's going to be, and we know there's going to be a geula at the end of this, but we don't want to see a much more heart-wrenching and pain and agony until we get to that point. Just a few hours on the parish, and we're really, yes.
Just on that point, yes, I'm going to send you, and I'll send David afterwards, a WhatsApp video of what's going on in London.
Yeah.
People, I'm just letting people know here, if they didn't see it yet, to be very careful. They're driving around and looking for houses that have mezuzahs on it. And don't answer your door, because if you don't recognize the people, what happens is one person, and then they come in and they've attacked people in their houses.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So that's why I don't mean to interrupt the share, but I thought this was very important.
Yes,
to let
thank
people
you.
Know.
But as David pointed out earlier, we have to be more vigilant. We have to be more careful. We have to be looking over our shoulders. Sadly enough, even in America, in 2021, we have to be watching and looking, and we have to watch each other. We have to be watching out for each other and making sure we're protecting Am Yisrael.
Because we're not Asian or black, otherwise there would be marches.
100%, 100%. We're not getting much attention, so we have to take care of it for ourselves. We have to watch out for each other. Rabbi Shavaisi actually spoke on Friday. I don't know how many of you listened to it. He spoke about that Stamazeh. One of the lessons that is we have to be more careful about Shmiras HaNefesh. We have to be watching our own safety and the safeties of others. You know, he wasn't really talking about this, but I'm going to borrow a little bit of what he said to apply it to now. We have to be more careful. I don't necessarily suggest people go to some of these rallies that could get dangerous. Someone asked me about going to one of these big rallies. I personally am somewhat, again, you have to know how much they accomplish, how much of a rash they make in government, or how much you're just asking yourselves to get into trouble. So you have to really balance these types of things carefully to know when it's the right thing to go to a rally, when it's perhaps dangerous to go. But we have to be careful and watch over each other and care for each other. You know, till now we've been busy, you know, with tragedies in Eretz Yisrael and rockets. And, you know, I think myself included, for sure myself included, you know, it's hard for us to get into the mind of what does it mean to be scared to go out on the streets. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll show you what it means to be scared to go out on the streets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us here in all the major cities here in America a little bit of that pachat to know what Achenu B'nai Yisrael has lived with for many, many years. And even more recently with the different, during this war. And I think there's an important word in this week's parasha, which is blew my mind when I read it. And I can't tell you why I understand it, but I'm definitely going to repeat it from Reb Schwab. Reb Schwab writes that in the beginning of the Nesiyim, so the first Nasi to bring was Nachshon ben Aminadav. And Reb Schwab points out and never says the word Nasi by his name. All the other Nesiyim are titled Nasi, Nasi. He doesn't get the title. And Reb Schwab explains because his sister was an Avelos. Nachshon ben Aminadav's sister was Aaron's wife. And Aaron's wife was an Avelos over the loss of her two children. So it wasn't right for the Torah to give him a glowing title because of his sister was an Avelos. And I read this with Schwab many times, and I'm trying to, just to show you how the Torah cares about Nois Sibol and Chaber. That's what it means, that Nachshon couldn't have a title to his name that would reflect of his position and his proper respect because his sister was going through a tough period. It just shows us what does it mean to feel another Jew's pain. What does it mean, noisei ba'olim chaver, to feel the pain of another Jew is really something that we have to tap into. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving to us here firsthand. He's saying, listen, you want to know what it's like to be scared to go out of your house? Look what's going on in all our major cities. So if we'll hopefully take the message to heart and we'll realize and we'll appreciate what does it mean to have freedom in our country, and we'll daven for the continuation of the protection of Achenu B'nai Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, because again, things there change on a dime. And for Achenu here in America, we need a daven for ourselves here and for our neighbors and neighboring cities and neighboring towns. It's extremely scary. And as David said so correctly, Torah is definitely going to be what's going to protect us. We need to obviously be mechazik ourselves in Torah, and learning Torah on a day like today has got to be the best thing in the world. And just one last word I have to mention from Moshe Wolfson. It's a beautiful word. Moshe Wolfson points out, I didn't mention it in the parasha share, I just want to say it very quickly. Moshe Wolfson points out that it says the word hikriv 2 times by Yisachar's carbon. And the Wolfson points out that very often when you have a situation like Yisachar Zevulun, where Yisachar is being supported by Zevulun, Zevulun starts to think that really Yisachar has no money. Even Yisachar's money is really my money because I'm supporting him. Says the Torah, no, Hikriv. Yisachar has his own money. Yisachar has money. Why? Because it's not Zevulun's money, it's Hashem's money. Hashem gave Zevulun the money to give it to Yisachar. And Rabbi Wolfson writes, he says, it's terrible. He says he knows of people that support Lomde Torah, and they walk around saying, that's my money. This guy, he has no money. He's learning in Kailo, but it's all my money. I'm giving him money. He's living off of my money. He says it's wrong, and you're losing out your schusim. Your attitude's not supposed to be, it's my money by him. Your attitude is supposed to be that I give money that Hashem gave me to him because that's what Hashem wants. And he writes, it's fascinating. He says that people have this attitude, and I've met people with this attitude. They mean well, but they also, like, you know, they give the dollar while holding on to the other end with a string. You know, like we saw in Gittin when you hold on to the get. You know, I want to give you money, but I want you to realize it's my money and that I'm giving to you. No, this guy's not a, Yisachar wasn't a Nebuch case. He wasn't a stuck organization. Yisachar was a role. It was a partnership. Yisachar did the learning, Zevulun did the supporting, and it was a partnership. You don't, when you pay your partner, you don't give it to him as a charity case. It's because your partner's together. And he writes that it's a mistake that people have when they support Torah, they start to think that the one who's getting the money is as a nobody. He's a lo yitzlach. He doesn't have any money on his own, and everything comes from Zevulun. That's what the Torah B'davka wrote Hikriv twice to teach us that Yisachar Taka is giving his own. Yisachar has money. Yisachar is not a Nebuch case. He gets money. He's getting some the money that Hashem is allotting through Zevulun. Okay, so let's get back to the sugya over here. We got a little bit of a break. David, are you on? David Pollack, are you on? I don't know if David's on. I hate to say I don't remember the names from week to week to who we should be learning for, but definitely. Yeah.
Esther Sarabas. Esther Sarabas.
Chaya Pesa. Chaim Yishub and Hendel, Besar Sha'achar Yisrael, as well as for a Shmira. Tyre is the greatest protector. And that should, all our learning today should be a Shmira for all of Klal Yisrael, B'choma Kaimah Shehem. And really just to keep an eye over the safety of Klai Yisrael. So we left off a few weeks ago. We already had Shavuos in between. And now we were coming back to Ksubis. So in Ksubis we were learning that there's Machloikis Tanoim. What type of woman do you have to pay Knas for? It says in the Torah that when you ma'anis a woman, on top of being ma'anis her, that you have to pay money, you also have to marry a Veloy Sili Isha. So the Gemara had a Cheshbin, it's really based on the Mishnah, that you only pay Knas for those women that you're able to marry. So the Gemara had a Machloikis Tanoim. What does it mean, able to marry? Does that mean Isha Haruya Lekaima? Does that mean a woman you could stay married to? Or does that mean a woman that there's Tfisus Kedushin to, even though technically this is not a marriage that the Torah wants you to stay married to? So we had a Machloikis Tanoim. What exactly is the definition of marriage? Does marriage mean, again, our Tan of our Mishnah holds you don't need any of that. The Tan of our Mishnah held that you can get Knas even if you're not Roy L'Kaimo, like all the examples we had in the Mishnah, right? All these Arayas. But there was a Tan, the Gemara said, La'fuki me'hatone de Tanya. There was a certain Tan that said, no, the only way you can get Knas is if the woman you were Ma'anis is a woman that you have a Sheikhis to marry. And the Gemara Machlokes Tanoim, what does that mean? Does that mean I need to be able to practically, halachically marry her, which means the Kedushin has to go through? Or does it mean that I have to be able to stay married to her? The Gemara says, Isha Haroi L'Kaima versus Isha Haroi L'Kedushin. So the Gemara said, what's the nafkamina between Roi L'Kaima and Roi L'Kedushin? So the Gemara goes through all these different nafkaminas. And in the middle of the Gemara had a nafkamina, what about Chavi Lavin? Chavi Lavin, Tvisas Kedushin, the Kedushin goes through. But the Torah doesn't want you staying married to a Chavi Lavin. So the Gemara said, a Chavi Lavin, now be the nafkamina. If it's about getting married, you can slip the Kedushin through to a Chavi Lavin. But if it's about staying married, no, the Torah doesn't want you staying married to a Chavi Lavin. Then the Gemara had a Kasha, that's where we'll start off from right now, number one. Ul Rabbi Akiva, Dome, and Kedushin, Tavis, and Bechavi Lavin. But says the Gemara, what about if you hold like Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva holds there is no Tvisus Kedushin with a Chavi Lavin. And even if you attempt to make Kedushin to a Chavi Lavin, the Torah will reject it. So my Beinayu, what's the difference between able to get married and staying married? So the Gemara says, Ikke Beinayu Almono L'Koyin Godol. No, there still is going to be an Afkamino to a case if a Koyin Godol would be Ma'anis and Almono. Again, a woman who was married, she lost her husband, now she's free, she's single. And now the Koyin Godol would be Ma'anis. Now you have to just work out, we never really spoke this out. Again, in order to be Ma'anis a woman, she has to have Besulim. So this woman was an almana, so she was previously married. So if she's previously married, so she probably doesn't have besulim anymore. Your average woman gets married, you consummate the marriage, there's no more besulim. So you're going to have to say that we're talking about a case where there was almana, and there was no consummation of the marriage yet, because there would be consummation of her first marriage, then there would be no oinus anyways. So the Gemara says, almana l'kohen gadol, why? Kirav simoi, like Rav simoi. Because again, what's the kasha? Almana l'kohen gadol is also a lav. And if we're going according to Rabbi Akiva that Chavi Lavin has no tefisas kedushin, so why is Almanu Kohen Gadol any different? So the Gemara, the Tanya, Reb Simo Yoimir, Minakola, said Rabbi Akiva Mamzer. And Rabbi Akiva made all illicit relationships, the baby into a Mamzer. Chutz, one exception. Almanu Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Akiva had a chiddush that even though Chavi Lavin, there's no tefisas kedushin, and normally when there's no tefisas kedushin, the baby is a mamzer. Rabbi Akiva had one exception to his rule. His exception was almana l'kohen gadol. Why? Shari Amr Torah, because it says in the Torah, lo yikach v'lo yichalo, don't take an almana and don't profane, don't make the baby chilulim. So the Gemara made a drasha, chilulin hu asa vein asa mamzer. The Gemara made a special drasha that by almana l'kohen gadol, that if a almana and a kohen gadol get married, then the babies will not be mamzerims, instead the babies will be chalol. Great. What does that have to do with Tfisas Kedushin? So we spent a lot of time in the last shurim discussing this. But the way Tosfos learned the Gemara is basically saying is that the way you know if there's Tfisas Kedushin is measured by the mamzerah status. So if the baby's a mamzer, that's either a simon or a siba. Rabbi Chanan and Kavitz Aris discussed that at length. We talked about that. But at the end of the day, the facts are the facts. That if the baby's a mamzer, that means there's no Tfisas Kedushin. If the baby's not a mamzer, then there is Tfisas Kedushin. So from the fact that the Torah says that Almanu L'Kohen Gadol is not a mamzer, says the Gemara, that's a dead giveaway that the Kedushin is Tfisas. Oh! So even though Rabbi Akiva normally holds Almanu L'Kohen Gadol is a lav, and a regular lav, there is no Tfisas Kedushin, this lav is unique, that there is Tfisas Kedushin, which means if a Kohen Gadol would walk over to an Almana on the street and give her a Shavu Kesef and say to Arayim Mekudesh, they'd be married. Now, of course, they can't stay married. Bezdin would come right away, swoop in, and force the guy to break the relationship because they're living in sin. But does the Kedushin chal avada chal? And if another man would come over to this woman and live with her, he'd get the death penalty because he's Mizana with an Eishes Ish. So this is a Gemara, beautiful. So if it's about getting married, Almana could marry a Kohen Gadol. So if a Kohen Gadol would be Ma'anis and Almana, he'd have to pay knas to her. Why? Because he's able to technically marry her. But if it's about staying married, a Kohen Gadol can't stay married to an Almana, and therefore that would be the nafkamina. So that's where the Gemara ended off, as far as we learned for the last couple of weeks, that this would be the great example to differentiate between, is it about getting married or is it about staying married? Fine. Then we took a little bit of a break. Yeah.
A grusha to a regular Kohen, isn't that the same thing also?
Yes, Rashi says, hu adin grusha to a regular coin. Yeah, 100%. Rashi says that. We had it on probably 2 or 3 weeks ago sheets, but if you take a look in Rashi, Rashi says, hu adin grusha to a coin, to a regular, to grusha. Yeah, 100%. Now, we spoke a lot the last couple of weeks about a machoikis rishonim about, is it such a metzias called a mamzer coin? Again, we know that when a Kohen lives with a woman who he's not allowed to because of Kedushas Kahuna, that baby is called a Cholol. A Cholol means, this is all based on Kedushin, we had these sources on the Maram Mekayimus a few weeks ago, that Cholol is a non-Kohen relationship. A Kohen is Kizar L'Choldover. So if a Kohen were to live with a woman who is a Kahuna Isser, Kedushas Kahuna, so then the Kohen would automatically lose, that baby loses all rights to Kedusha. It's funny, my son's Rebbe asked the parents of Shiloh. My son was learning in Parshas Chayisara. So in Parshas Chayisara, the Torah tells us that Avram remarried Hagar. So the Rebbe, so one of the Talmidim asked the Rebbe Akasha, we know that Avram Avinu divorced Hagar. So if Avram Avinu divorced Hagar, so Hagar had a din of a grusha. And Avram Avinu had a din of a kain. So how is Avram Avinu allowed to marry Hagar a second time? Why is it not also else grusha? So I gave the Rebbe a very long response. I told him, I said, first of all, it's not so poshut that Kedushas Kahuna, this is mamash the shit that we're learning about. Even in Tim Saloima that Avram Avinu had a shame Kohen, it might be totally in Zera Aaron, like we learned about other times. That was the whole shayla whether Pinchas had a din of Kahuna, even though he was technically a Kohen, but he was even Mizera Aaron, but he wasn't like Zera Aaron. So first of all, I tied it to the Rebbe, maybe it's not so poshut that even if you're called a Kohen, you have those dinim. Secondly, you have Reb Chaim Volozhiner's cheshbon about how you're allowed to marry two sisters, because the others did whatever they felt necessary. Third of all, I asked the Rebbe, I said, I have a bigger kasha. How did he marry Hagar the first time? Hagar was a Mitzri. How did Avram Avinu, forget Grusha, how did Avram Avinu marry Hagar the first time? She was a Mitzri, and you're not allowed to marry a Mitzri. Elamai, you'll tell me, like any other Turetzim we all know. There's a famous Maratzchias in Meseches Tainis, Dav Dalet. The Maratzchias says that the others didn't keep Arayas. And they kept Kol HaTorah Kula, even Eruvei Chatzeris, but not a rais, which sounds very, you know, hard to imagine, but it answers all the kashas. That's why Yaakov married two sisters, and that's why Avraham was allowed to do whatever he was allowed to do, because he married two sisters. Because he didn't keep the arais. So the Rebbe wanted to tie it to me, no. He wanted to make a chiluk. He wanted to say that there's a difference between marrying a Mitzri and marrying a Grusha. So I said, Favos. He said, because marrying a Mitzri is not a kahuna dike isr. It's a Yisrael dike isr. Yisrael are not allowed to marry a Mitzri. So that he thought that that Avraham Avinu would push away because he felt the need. But he wouldn't push away the isr to marry a Grusha. I said, Mamecha Tesa makes such a chiluk. I mean, he wants to tie now. Avraham Avinu would have no problem marrying a Mitzri, but he'd be more nervous to marry a Grusha. Now, he's right. Marrying a Mitzri is only an Aseh, which we'll learn about later today, Bli Neder. But marrying a Grusha is only a Chavi Lavin also. It's not even Chavi Krisus. Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. That's Chavi Krisus. Achoy Zishto is Chavi Krisus. So if you're going to tell him that the Ovis had no problem, so then he was trying to tell me that the Ovis had no problem doing Chavi Krisus, but they wouldn't do Dine Kuhuna. Not sure why. Why would you assume like that? And he was trying to tell me that there's Kedushas Kuhuna, that Avraham Avinu would be more machmer on that than it would be machmer in the rest of the Torah. Oh, maybe. Yeah, no, I don't know. Maybe. I thought it was a Shver Svar. Yeah.
Well, with all due respect, first of all, I'm surprised he doesn't throw your son out of class. He says, I can't deal with your father.
You know? No, the Rebbe has a WhatsApp chat with the parents. He puts it on the WhatsApp chat.
Oh, okay. I thought he said it's to the class.
No, he does it on the WhatsApp. He's a
Grushoso. Yeah. Master Grushoso, is that also to a kind if it's his own?
Yep. You bet.
Really?
100%.
It's the lesser?
100% Dei Raisa, yeah.
Okay.
There have been many stories about stories like there have been many okay. stories about Kehanim that divorced their wives and then realized that she got pregnant. There's a lot of famous stories that everyone says over about a Kohen who divorced his wife because they couldn't get pregnant, and then they found out that she was pregnant, he wanted to take her back, and he couldn't take her back. I got the story. But yeah, the answer is no. You can't be married to Grushosa, even Ishtoi, once you divorce. So I left the Rebbe like these like long WhatsApp chats. I guess he had what to think about when he was driving in from Bar Park. He happens to be a fantastic Rebbe. He's a Stalin Chassid. I happen to be a big fan of Stalin Chassidim. They make great Rabbeim. Because they're able to mix the Litvish style of learning with that Chassidish brand of warmkeit and warmth that sometimes the Litvishes lack a little bit. But in any case, so that was what we were dining on. So I want to tie it to him, like we're learning in the Sugya, that it's not so poshut what creates Kedusha's Kahuna. Because Lamashal, a Mamzer Mikoyin, again, so let's go back to a Cholol. So by a Cholol, so again, a guy lives with an Arayas. Again, not an Arayas. A Koyin lives with a woman who is an Erva Mitzat Kahuna. Right, again, a Koyin lives with a Grusha. So that baby is a Cholol. What's a Cholol? A Cholol means he has zero Kedushas Kahuna. None of the perks of being a Koyin does this baby have because this baby is stripped of all its Kedusha because it's a Cholol. So the Shaila that we talked about at length is what happens if the Koyin doesn't live with a woman who's a Kedusha, a Koyin Dika problem. He lives with his sister. He lives with his aunt. He lives with a married woman. Those women aren't Osetim because he's a Koyin. Those women are Osetim because he's a Jew. And every Jew is not allowed to live with those women. So what happens then? Do we say the baby becomes a mamzer? Obviously the baby becomes a mamzer. But the question is the baby a mamzer plus a cholo? Or the baby is a mamzer and not a cholo? Meaning, do we say it's a mamzer plus cholo? Meaning, it's pasha that this baby has no kedushas kahuna, and on top of it has a din of a mamzer, which is lo yovo b'kal Hashem. Or do you say, no, this baby is a mamzer. And with all the chesrenes of a mamzer, but he retains Kedushas Kahuna. We mentioned this, Machlekes Tazen Beis Shmuel. Again, this is all the stuff we spoke about Mamash for like 3 or 4 weeks. Now we come to the turning point. Good, and we mentioned this, Machlekes Rishonim. It's just Tshuva Se Rashba, Machlekes Achroinim, Metazlo Shitasai, Metachazinish. We said a lot of Gishmak HaTorah. How does it come back to our Gemara? Everything's got to come back to the Gemara.
So Rabbi, what would happen if he lived with his sister who was a Grusha?
Oh, so that would be complicated already. Because then you're going to have Isser Chalal Isser, then you're going to have Tesefis Isserim. That would have to be very complicated. The Pashtus would be then.
Wouldn't that answer what we're saying, though?
That would make the baby for sure a Chalal. The Shulchan Aruch writes that the first time you live with your Arayis, the baby is not a Chalal. The second time, then you already turn him into a Zayinu, so then the baby becomes already a Chalal. That's what the Gemara says. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Meaning, the first time you live with her, they're just a regular arayas. The second time, you turn her into a zayna. Now that she's a zayna, any time you'll live with her after that, the next baby will be a chol. Our whole shaila was that first bia, you got a guy lives with his sister, and they get pregnant right away. What's that baby? But Ein Hacharam, he says the Shulchan Aruch, says the Gemara in Kedushin, if he'd live with his sister and have another baby, that second baby would be a mamzer, would be a cholo, and the first baby would be a mamzer. A very strange phenomenon, but that's what comes out. So let's go back to our Gemara. What was our Gemara's drasha? This is how I got involved in the sugya in the first place, besides for the fact I thought it was a very shmaka sugya. Says the Gemara, we have a special gzeres hakasa by Almanu L'Kohen Gadol. What does the Torah say? It says, lo yikach v'lo yichal. By Almanu L'Kohen Gadol, what does it say in the Chumash? It says, don't take her v'lo yichal and don't make the baby a chol. So the Gemara makes a drasha. Chilulun hu aso. The baby only becomes a cholol, but the baby doesn't become a mamzer. It's a gzeres hakasa. There's a gzeres hakasa that when a Kohen lives with a grusha, or a Kohen Gadol lives with an Almanu, the baby should be a mamzer, but the baby only becomes a cholol, doesn't become a mamzer. So says Rabbi Eliashiv, number two. Make a little bigger for everyone. V'donu ha'achroinim. Says Rabbi Eliashiv, there's a big din in the achroinim. Ma dinu shel havlat ha'yetzim mibir rishayin l'gabe kuhuna. What would be the status of a baby that was conceived from a first bia with an arayis? To have a din mamzer loy. Ha'im b'chla mamzer she'osei l'kahal kolul gam isa kuhuna v'yesh lo din cholol livs l'kuhuna da'asar ba'avoida u'ba'achilas truma u'b'chal masayimon. One side is that this baby's got double whammies. This baby not only is it a cholol, that this baby's not allowed to marry, this baby has no kedushas kuhuna, he's also layava b'kahal Hashem as mamzeris. That's side number one of the chakira. That again, this is talking about not a almon l'kohen gadol, this is talking about an arayis. If a baby is born from an arayis relationship, a kohen lives with his sister, produces a baby, so is that baby cholo plus mamzer? That's side number one, which means the baby takes on all the chesrainus. He's not a kohen. He doesn't get truma. He doesn't, he has no dine kedushas kahuna. And on top of that, he's not allowed to marry b'kahal Hashem because he's a mamzer. So he's a cholo plus. Or maybe not. Zogt Rabbi Yashiv, mamish what we've talked about for the last, I don't know, 3 weeks. Probably 4 weeks already. Now what? Maybe not true. Maybe that there's a parish in the Torah called Mamzeris. There's a parish in the Torah called Cholo, and the two don't cross. So when, and it's Kanama Furish like that in the Gemara and Kiddush. When the baby is a product of a Mamzeris relationship, meaning it's an Arayis, but not because of Kiddush's Kahuna, so then the baby's a Mamzer. When the baby's produced from a Kahuna-based Isser, which means the father lives with a woman who's not allowed to because of Kiddush's Kahuna, then the baby's a Cholo, and the two don't cross each other. Which means, the way the Taz learned the sugya, that if a Kohen lives with his sister, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, Kohen lives with his sister, the baby's not a chol. So what is it? It's a mamzer. What's a mamzer? A mamzer is a very strange phenomenon. It's a baby that has all kedushas kahuna with all the trimmings, but he's just loyava b'kahal Hashem. So that was the tutstadim we spoke about a lot for the last couple of weeks. Now, we mentioned a Bochonin in Kovitz Ars. The Bochonin says it can't be, doesn't make any sense. Why? Because if he loses his shame, yilovei b'kahal, it doesn't make sense he could retain his kedushas kahuna. Rabbi Chanan's argument was, how can you have a baby who's lost his kedushas Yisrael to marry another Jew, but he retains kedushas kahuna to Ichuma? It sounds almost ridiculous. The perks of being a kohen he retains, but basic citizenship of being Jewish he loses. That was Rabbi Chanan's argument. That's the chayra. To the ear, it sounds like a very strong argument. Meaning, a kohen is a Jew plus. So you're telling me now that this baby is a mamzer, which means he's not a Jew. He's removed from regular Jewish rights and privileges. But he still retains kahuna privileges? How does that make sense? If you're not Jewish, if you lose...
There's only one right that he loses, to marry in. Otherwise, it's full kedushas Yisrael.
Yeah, but Rabbi Chanan's argument is hagufa. The fact that the Torah stripped him of kedushas Yisrael, at least legabe marriage, that should be an indicator that he can't retain other forms of kedusha.
Maybe not.
I'm not saying we can't debate it, but it's just an interesting the way Rabbi Chanan presented it. He thought that's the deciding factor. Now what? If you look at it like that, then it's strange. So you want to tie in a, Seth wants to say, and I hear a shtark at Tzad, that there's separate kedushas. You can lose kedushas Yisrael and still retain kedushas kuna. Okay. I'm willing to hear such a Tzad. Again, the truth is, these are really tshuva sarajbas. These are really discussed debating the Rishayim. Now what is after our Gemara? I know everyone couldn't sleep for the last 2 weeks to figure out how to get plugged back into our Gemara. So Zot Rabbi Chan, number two, Ulechayra mehacha yesh lo echiach l'nidan zeh. Zot Rabbi Chan, it can bring a riot to this Shaila we've been discussing for 3 or 4 weeks from this Gemara that we just read. How? Says Rabbi Yasha. Why? Because what was the drash of the Gemara? The drash of the Gemara was lo yikach v'lo yichal chalul anasav l'yasam amzeh. V'haynu, the fact that the Torah adds and says lo yichalel v'hine, says Rabbi Eliashiv, inayim the mamzer ein lo din cholol. One second, Says Rabbi Yashiv, if a mamzer had no din chalal at all, which means a mamzer retains all its kedushas kahuna, just as a psul kahal, this is not an extra pasuk. I need the Torah to tell me that this baby is only a challah, because there is such a mitzvah that you can retain kedusha even when living in sin. Meaning, if there's such a mitzvah, it's called a mamzer kayin, that you could live in sin and produce a baby, and that baby will still retain kedusha's kahuna. So I need the Torah to tell me, but when Almana kayin gadol, well, you know what happens? There's a breach in kedusha. Lo yichal, the baby becomes a chal, and he does not retain his kedusha. That's a chiddush. That's a chiddush of the Torah over here. However, says Rabbi Yashiv, but if you go the other way, v'hine name of the mamzer ain't loy din chal, if there's no such thing called a mamzer, what's extra? I need the Torah to tell me that the baby actually becomes a chala and he loses kedushas kahuna. Meaning, if the such a mitzvah is called a mamzer and a mamzer retains kedushas kahuna, so here the Torah has to go out of its way and tell me, but there's another reality, another baby who doesn't retain kedushas kahuna. Tahainu lo yichal, the baby becomes a chala. Elavade de beisim mamzer is kra kol isakuna. Elamai, so what's the chiddush akra lo yichal? It must be Zokter B'liashiv, El Raya, the Be'isr Mamzeris, Kvar Kol Isakuna, Vinis Chala Mikunase. No. Avada, when a person lives with a legitimate relationship, the baby loses all Kedushas Kuhuna. Vim Kin, Aloy Chala Miyutr. So if so, so why does the Torah have to tell me again the din of Loy Chalo? So here it's a special Xeris Akasuf. Now, Bedafka, over here, the Torah restructured. But everywhere else, any other situation of a legitimate relationship, it's a given that all Kedushas Kuhuna is stripped. And therefore, over here, it's an extra pasuk to teach me that it's only Chalolim and not Mamzeris. Okay, that was all from last week.
Is that drasha only according to Rabbi Akiva, who says Chavi Lavin are Mamzeris, so here is a special...
Yes, only according to Rabbi Akiva.
So then how do you make... So that's not such a riot. This is only a Libidur Rabbi Akiva. If you hold that Chalol never becomes a Mamzer, but that's what you need the
positive. Good point. Very good. 100%. It's a very good point. And Echanami, this is only in Rabbi Akiva's world, right? 100%. It's a Gavaldi Kara. Yeah, very good. Okay, let's move on. We got to move on. So we're stuck now, right? We're stuck. Why? Because, I'm sorry, we're not stuck. We're good. The Gemara says that Afkimin will be Amon Lekhan Gola. Says the Gemara not so fast. Ule Reb Yesheva. What did you do with Reb Yesheva? Who's Rabbi Yeshevov? The Amah, who said, Bo v'netzaveh ha'akiva ben Yosef. Rabbi Yeshevov took big issue with Rabbi Akiva. Akiva ben Yosef. Shaya Oimer, he would say, Kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael avla mamzer. He would say, any baby where there's no bia, if it's not mutter to live with this woman, the vla's automatically a mamzer. Now, obviously, Amon l'koyin gadol is not bia b'Yisrael. Amon is not allowed to have bia with a koyin gadol. Koyin gadol is not allowed to have bia with an Amon. So, for acting tomorrow, we're back to square one. Rabbi Yeshevov felt that any baby, any relationship where the bia was done be'isr, the vlaz mamzer, and that's what Rabbi Akiva held. So then we're back to square one. Amon of the Kohen Gadol, the bia is definitely a bia be'isr, and anytime there's a bia be'isr, the vlaz mamzer. So if whatever there's a bia be'isr, the vlaz mamzer, so Amon of the Kohen Gadol, right, there should be the vlaz mamzer. Now this is basically a machloikis between Reb Simoy and Reb Yeshevov, what Rabbi Akiva said. Reb Simoy told us that Rabbi Akiva holds Amon of the Kohen Gadol is not a mamzer. Here, Rabbi Yeshevov is saying, no, not so fast. Akiva didn't say that. He said that what? Kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael ha'vlad mamzer. Whenever there's no bia, the vlad's a mamzer, which means Amon l'koyin gadol, the vlad should be a mamzer. So if the vlad's a mamzer, ma b'nai, we're back to square one. If Amon l'koyin gadol, the vlad's also a mamzer, so then there's no difference anymore between able to get married and staying married. We had the nafkamina as Amon l'koyin gadol, because Amon l'koyin gadol was able to get married because of a hostical Torah. But you tell me now that Rabbi Akiva said that's not so. He said that Almona is not allowed to marry a koyin gadol. I'm sorry, that the Vlad's a mamzer. So if the Vlad is a mamzer, we always know whenever the Vlad's a mamzer, it means there's no tefisus kedushin. So if there's no tefisus kedushin, it's the same thing as not being able to get married, as not being able to stay married. So let's see Rashi very quickly over here. So Rashi explains. I didn't put the Rashi down. Okay, that's the Gemara's kasha. Now, the Shita Mukubetzis asks a very basic question over here. How can you ask me a kasha on two other Tanoim from something that Rabbi Shevov said? Rabbi Shevov said that according to Rabbi Akiva, an Almona L'Kohen Gadol has no Tzvisus Kedushin. Well, maybe I hold like Reb Simoy. Although, again, there's a machlokes tanoim about what constitutes being able to get married. The Gemara threw in Rabbi Akiva. So, Frek the Shittim Mekubetz is, why can't those tanoim say, we don't buy into Rabbi Yeshiva's version of Rabbi Akiva? We go like Rabbi Simai's version. Rabbi Simai's version was that Alman L'Kohen Gadol has to be his kedushin, and then everything is peachy rosy. It's only a kasha because, oh, what do you do with Rabbi Yeshiva's version? Why am I bound to Rabbi Yeshiva's version? The two tanoim were Rabbi Shimon Menasya and I forgot the other Tana. Why are they bound by Rabbi Yeshiva's interpretation of Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Yeshiva learns according to Rabbi Akiva, Alman L'Kohen Gadol, the vlad would be a mamzer. If the vlad's a mamzer, there's no tefisa kedushin. So I disagree with that. What was that? I don't have to learn about Kiva that way. I can learn about Kiva like Reb Simoy. So the Shidu Kubetz asks for a kasha. He says, "Avam Reb Yishev number 3. My parich Dilma Reb Shimon Menasi or Reb Simoy Svirle. Maybe Reb Shimon Menasi held like Reb Simoy. The Svirle Reb Akiva Nami Lav and the Kuhuna ain't vlad mamzer." Again, the Gemara's kasha was according to Reb Shimon Menasi, what's the nafkemina? So the Gemara says the nafkemina will be Amon L'Kohen Gadol. Frak the Gemara, but according to Reb Yishevov, it's not a nafkemina. So I don't know like Reb Yishevov. What's the big kasha? There's a machloikis how to understand Reb Akiva. So I'll learn Reb Akiva the other way. If you learn Reb Akiva the other way, it comes out that Amon L'Kohen Gadol has to be his kedushin, and therefore it's negate to our sugya. So why can't the Tanna Reb Shimon Menasi just say, I don't learn like Reb Yishevov, I learn like Reb Simon? So the Shimon says very cute teretz. He said, "V'yeshlemer the kibun do Amar Rabbi Yishevah ba'u v'nitzaveh hal kibun ben Yosef." Rabbi Yishevah didn't just walk into the Beis and say, "Rabbi Akiva said this." He has like a cute line over here. He says he would go screaming, "Mashma the shoma mine do Amar Hachi," meaning he heard Rabbi Akiva say this. Rabbi Yishevah is not just saying what he holds. He's saying, I heard from the Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. I heard him. I heard him say that whenever they can't have beer, the baby's a mamzer. That's a much more of a certainty in your statement. Reb Samoy touched up Reb Akiva. Reb Yishevah was saying, I was there, I heard it. I'm telling you, the Rebbe Reb Akiva holds this way. So he says, Mashma the Shomim in Eidomar Hachi Lehedja. Meaning it's much more of a convincing argument versus Reb Simoy. Reb Simoy just said, this is what Reb Akiva holds. Reb Yishevah was coming and screaming, Bovin it's Aveyach. He's saying, no, you guys all got it wrong. Reb Akiva never said that. Much more of a convincing argument. Therefore, it would lead you to think that he's probably right. His Mahalach and Reb Akiva is more correct than Reb Simoy's Mahalach and Reb Akiva. Said the Shindu Mugabet, that's why he's getting so upset. Why was Reb Yishevah getting so upset? Because Reb Yishevah says, I heard from the Rebbe the other way. Now you can imagine if you were in Shir by, one of these big Gedolim, and then 2 weeks later, everyone's saying that the Gadol said something else. You're like, well, no, I was there. I heard him say this and this. So Reb Yishevah was getting so frustrated because he heard that that's not what Reb Akiva said. He heard Reb Simoy is saying Reb Akiva over incorrectly. So he says, that's why. But Reb Simoy didn't necessarily hear from Reb Akiva. He was saying it on his own. Meaning, says the Shin Mikubetzis, Reb Simoy walked into Beis Marish and he said, I think this is what the Rebbe holds. And Reb Yishevah walks and says, what are you crazy? I heard from the Rebbe otherwise. So if you were sitting down, and one guy walks in and tells you, I think Rav Moshe would pass like this and this. And the other guy says, what are you talking about? I was sitting by Rav Moshe and the Shaila came in and he said this. Who are you going to take more seriously? Avad, you're going to take the second guy more seriously. So therefore, says the Shin Mikubetzis, that's Pshat over here. So when Rabbi Yishevah comes in screaming and yelling, blazing guns, that Rabbi Akiva never said it that way. Instead, Rabbi Akiva said, whenever two people live together and that's not a bia beheter, the vlad mamzer, you take him much more seriously. So if you take him more seriously, frankly, we got a kasha on our hands. Which means Amon L'Kohen Gadol is definitely a bia beisser. Every time there's a bia beisser, even Rabbi Akiva holds the vlad mamzer. So if the vlad mamzer, so then Amon L'Kohen Gadol is no longer a viable nafkemi. So explains the Shita Mikubetzis. So let's see a little bit more on the Gemara, and then we'll come back. So the Gemara says, so what's the nafkemina? So the Gemara, may be nai, rik be nai, chayeve ase. The Gemara says, I'll tell you the nafkemina. The nafkemina will be what happened if the woman that the man was ma'anis is also to him, but not because of a laugh. He's also to him because of an ase. So the Gemara, that's the nafkemina. Chayeve mitzri v'adoimi. Why? So let's scroll down to the bottom. Rashi says, what's chay, number 10, left corner? That's Rashi. Chayve mitzvi v'adoimi, b'toich shloisha doros, within the first three generations. The chsiv says, dor shlishi yovei lahem, dor sheni loy. Again, the Torah doesn't say you can't marry mitzvi the first two doros. The Torah says you can only marry mitzvi the third generation. So the Gemara says, Zagrashi, v'lav abo, mechlal ase. So how do you know you're not allowed to marry a mitzvi? It's from the fact that the Torah says you can't marry her till Dor Shlishi. So we derive that what? I'm sorry, from the fact that the Torah says you're allowed to marry a mitzvi Dor Shlishi, we derive that until Dor Shlishi you're not allowed to. But what type of iser is that? That's only an aseh. So the Gemara assumes for Dava Poshet that even though Rabbi Akiva was so machbid that kol bia she'enu kol bia b'Yisrael kol she'enu bia b'Yisrael of la mamzer, that's only if it's going to be a chavi lavin. So therefore, mitzvah v'adoyimi, which is only an asay, it's a natural lower. So the vlad is not a mamzer. So that's a beautiful nafkamina. That would be a nafkamina. Is what would happen if a koyin was ma'anis, a woman who's a mitzvah v'adoyimi. So he technically, the first three generations, the vlad would not be a mamzer, because it's only an asay. And since it's only an asay, the vlad is not a mamzer, so that would be a nafkamina. Okay. So now let's take a break for a second and deal with an issue from the Tosfos Yeshanim. If you look over at number four, the Tosfos Yeshanim has a kasha. The Gemara is struggling to find an afkamina between a woman who I can stay married to versus a woman that I'm allowed to marry. And we always know that whatever the status of the mom, the baby is, that's always a dead giveaway to the status of the marriage. Frek the Tosfos Yeshanim, I have a great afkamina. What's the afkamina? Tema. Amar like ko'amar ikke b'nai. Listen to this case. Says the Gemara the following case. Soita. Oh, coming off last week's parasha. Soita she'irsa. Let's say you have the following case. Reuven gets married to Leah. They have Erison. Good. But because there's no Nisuin, Leah still has her Basulim intact. Fine. So far, so good. Then, Vizinsa Tachtov, Shaloi Kedarka. Then, Leah, after Erison, is Mizana. So after she's Mizana, she becomes a Saita. Saita is a Surah Leboil, a Surah Lebal. Right? So now she's also to her husband. But when she was Mizana with another man, she was Mizana, not Kedarkoi, because if she'd be Mizana Kedarkoi, she'd lose the Psulim. If she'd lose the Psulim, she'd never have Oinus anyways. So instead, she was Mizana with the other man, be a Shuloi Kedarkoi. Fine. Now what happens? Now they get divorced. Now, Reuven is Ma'anis, his ex-wife who cheated on him. Sounds like a movie over here, right? So what happened over here? Again, Reuven was married, Erison to Leah. Leah was Mizana after Erison, which means that she's a Saita, which she's Aser too. Then the man she was Mizana with was Shalei Kedarka, so her Basulim are still intact. So then Reuven goes over to this woman after their divorce, and after all the smoke clears, and after they stop throwing things at each other, and he's Ma'aniser, and maybe that's payback, I don't know, whatever. And the Shaila was, is he considered Roy Lekaimah? Is he allowed to be married to her? She's Asura al Saita. So that says the Tosfos Yeshanim, the Gemara says in Yevamis, that if he were to live with her and produce a baby, the vlad's not a mamzer. Oh, kvalt. So the vlad's not a mamzer. That means there's tvisas kedushin. Now, is this a couple that they're allowed to stay married? Of course not. But it has tvisas kedushin. So for ektaitis, I have an afkamina. Again, it's a little bit of a wacky case, but it works. For ektaitis yishonim, this would be an afkamina between if it's about getting married or about staying married. Because I can get this marriage through. If this guy would have wanted to technically remarry his divorced Saita, the Kedusha would go through. How do I know? Because the Vlad's not a mamzer. So therefore, if it's about Tvisa's Kedusha, there is Tvisa's Kedusha. But if it's about staying married, you can't stay married. So that could be the Nafkamina. If this guy would be Ma'anis, his divorced Isha Saita, that would be a Nafkamina of whether or not she gets Knas. And the Tosfos Yeshanim leaves off with a Kasha. He doesn't answer it. Seems like it's a shtark akasha. Why couldn't the Gemara pick that as an afkamina? Okay, so let's see what the Achrayim say to this. Again, it's a little bit of a doozy case, but it's manageable. This is not like the hard
but
stuff.
But it's only Erison. But it's only Erison. It's not actually Nisun. So maybe that's why he's able to.
Again, she's still usher to him. She still becomes a site even after Erison.
What's the nature of the
Isser?
Is it a
lav
or is it
Isser
a say? What is the
okay, good. It's probably some form of, I would venture to assume it's probably some form of a lav. But I'm not sure why that should matter, because as long as it's Tvisa's Kedushin.
No, if it's an Isser a say, then there's nothing new here. We're just giving another case of an Isser
a say. Yeah, I mean, it's like the next Gemara's answer, an afkamina would be an say. Right? Presumably it's probably not an say. I would assume it's probably a lav. I'm almost positive it's a lav. So then it's a great example of a lav that has Tvisa's Kedushin. So the Mishnah Lamelech comes up with a teretz. I'm going to try to make it bigger. So the Mishnah Lamelech says like this. Ulididi ha-yinira, I have a teretz. V'chol shezin satach as bailo shoven leknas. Says the Mishnah Lamelech, a big yisoid. He says, this woman doesn't get knas anyways. You know why? Because she was mizana when she was married. So what? What's wrong with, I'm saying, obviously, we know what's wrong with being Mizana, but why is that a reason for you to lose Knas? Again, her Pesulim are still intact because she was only Boil Shalai Kedarkai with the guy she was Mizana with. Says the Mishnah Malacha Yisoit. The Gemara says later on, if a person divorces his wife because he suspects that there was Shemra, there was rumor spread that she was Mizana, so the Halacha is Ein Lo Knas V'Lo Pitoy. He doesn't have to pay Knas and Pitoy. The time of the milsal das Rashi, who Rashi explains, you know why? The fisha ena becheskas b'sula. This girl, this woman, automatically lost her cheskas b'sula. Kivin shahisa chayzeres achas nos, because she was looking. You know, moiti shemra means that there's allegations that she had inappropriate behavior. Therefore, says Rashi, once there's allegations of inappropriate behavior, there the hashchichi prutzim. She was hanging around bad people. So we have to assume that she was Mizana, and the Basulim are no longer intact. The Rambam has a different shot. Why is that Hayoitz's Mishon Moitzi Shemra has no Knas? The Rambam says, because we have to assume she willingly was giving herself up to be Mizana. Okay, I don't want to get too much into Rambam's pshat, what exactly he means, but Rashi's pshat is that when a woman is suspected of being Mizana, we assume she was Mizana, and therefore there's no Basul. Oh, so says the Mishnah Melech, Gevalik. This case, the woman was Mizana. We know she was Mizana. So since we know she was Mizana, even though she claims she was only Mizana Sholei Kedarka, we suspect that she was Mizana Kedarka also. Says the Mishnah Melech, it's a din. The moment a woman's mizana under her husband, she loses knosses. The Rambam said that once a lady's mizana, you have to assume she's now always consenting. I mean, she showed us that she's open to outside relationships. I frecked her mishnah melech, but this one was forced. He says, "Mikomak and kimin shiyotzes ala shemra aminun elu lehiktim zev onsa hoysahi seichrasim." Okay, I don't want to get involved with that. Definitely not in the world we live in today. But Zog the Mishnah Malach, what's his teretz for us? That since the Gemara says if you might see an isha mishum shemra, the halacha is she doesn't get knas because we assume she was mizane. Over here, we know she was mizane. She's not hiding it. So once you know a woman is mizane, even though she claims and she swears that it was only shalei kedarka, we have to suspect that it was Kedarka also, and the Mela, she now has no Basulim. So if she has no Basulim, she doesn't get Knas. Therefore, says the Mishnah Melech, that's why this Teretz won't fly. The Teretz of the Teretz Yishonim is technically correct, but it's not going to work. Why? Because the moment a woman is Mizana, we automatically treat her as if she lost her Basulim. Even though she's screaming Chayavikayim, it was only Sholei Kedarka. That's the Mishnah Melech's Teretz. And the Achrein, and the Mishnah Melech himself says, based on this Yisrael, you can answer Rabbi Kivega's Kash. Rabbi Kivega has a Kash in number 6, Amai loy hukshu oid nachshev soitish isa vizinsatach de vigirsha. Rabbi Kivega asks on our Mishnah Neilonairis. In all the lists of the people who get Knas in our Mishnah, for Rabbi Kivega, why wasn't this woman in the Mishnah? What would this case be? A woman who's married to a man. She's Mizana under the husband Shalei Kedarkai. Then he divorces her, then he's Ma'anis her. So why didn't the Mishnah say she gets Knas? Rabbi Kivega asks if her Kasha, and he leaves off Tzarachin. Says the Mishnah Mach, what's Kasha? According to my, you said it's beautiful. Why? Because any woman who willfully is Mizana, even if it's only Shalei Kedarka, she becomes a Cheskas Bu'ula, and if she becomes a Cheskas Bu'ula, she loses all rights to Knas. Therefore, says Rabbi Chora, says the Mishnah Melech, that would also answer up Reb Kiveger's Kash. Now, many Achrenim come to defend.
This approach only works, going back to the beginning, if you say the purpose of the Knas is because you damaged the woman. But if the purpose of the Knas is to turn to the man, what should it matter? You know, if this woman's mafke herself or not.
Now, you mean the Rambam's pshat?
No, only in the beginning.
But Rashi's pshat, whatever lumnus we want to say, at the end of the day, the metzias is the Torah only gave knas to a woman who lost besulim. Now, you can argue that premise and say, one second, a lady's married for 10 years, she has 5 kids, her besulim are long gone, and you're ma'ana, so you don't have to pay? Yeah, the answer is yes. That's the Torah. Now, you want to try to be masber that might be connected to the Chakira, you're probably right, but at the end of the day, the facts are the facts. The Torah says a woman who has no Basulim doesn't get Knas. Now, your argument is a fair argument. I'm not saying it's not a good time. I mean, your time is that it doesn't work with the Chakira we started out with about why there's Knas in the first place. 100%. You're going to have to rework that Chakira into the way the Torah structured the dinim. So the Chazinish comes to defend this Mishnah L'malach. The Chazon Ish comes to defend the Mishnah LeMelech. He writes like this. He says, "The Mishnah LeMelech Perek Alf Melechas Naira Tirutz Davle Yotzem Mishum Shemra Ve'en LeKnas Kram LeKamon Miu Bigmar Shem Mash Mishum Chashash Buula Kidamar Shem Hasem Shchichi Pchutz." Said the Chazon Ish, not so fast. The case over there in the Gemara that was talking about you divorced your wife because you suspected her of being mezane. She was hanging out with a bad crowd. She was doing things she shouldn't be doing. She was going to parties and clubbing or whatever else goes on. Right? Shchichi prutze. Says the Chazon Ish, but that's not the same in our case. Why? V'imkein imotza lo dam mishalom knas. V'efshiv din tova shaloi kidarka u'mintra nafsha bikidarka hi b'cheskas besula. Says the Chazon Ish, but over here the case is different. This woman was very clear about her intentions. She did not bedafka live with the man kidarka. The case in the Gemara that the Mishnah Melech quoted was talking about a girl who's just out there. She's partying hardy. She's just looking for trouble. So then you have the reason to suspect she didn't wash her basulim. But over here, the Chazon Ish, this girl was very particular in what she was being mezana with. She wasn't allowing the man to be boil her kedarka. She was almost shoymer her basulim. So mechatez her basulim were affected. Memela zok the Chazon Ish, it's not a good comparison. The case of the Gemara when you send a lady out because of Moiti Shemra, it's not Stam Moiti Shemra. The Pshat was, she had a reputation of hanging out in places where nothing happens. But over here says the Chazon Ish, this girl wasn't that. This girl was with a man, and we know exactly what they did. And she, Bedavka, only did that for a reason. Because she wanted to be Shemra Besulim. The Melech talked to Chazon Ish, Mechitesa, to assume that Besulim are not intact. I found the same thing in another sefer called Chin of Chizda. He also says the same svara. He says a little bit more elaborate than the Chazon Ish. He says the Hasam ki yoyis b'shem Shemra mekivin deli adinam ba mistomer aminu mufkeres atzma he zois v'nevelos ben kedaka ben shlokedaka. Again, what's the case of Moishe Shemra? You hear rumors that your wife was mizan. You don't know details. You don't know who, when, what. So zok there, when the Gemara says you hear your wife is mizan, you have to expect, you have to suspect and expect the worst, which means it was probably kedaka and it was probably shlokedaka. It was everything. So therefore she gets no besula. Therefore she gets no knas, because presumably there's no besula. But he says over here, Ochin b'isho hazman hamizana tachas bayil shloi kedarka. What was the case over here? It's not like she was tamas, they went out partying, and we don't know what she did. We know she had biznos with one man. And we know exactly what they did. We know the details. Zog to her, loy mechzakinu li b'cheskas b'ula kedarka. Deneikum lo kecheskas kashrus. See, he wants to say it a little different than the Chazon Ish. He wants to say that maybe she slipped, meaning she's not a bad person. She wasn't mufkeres l'znos. She wasn't looking just to totally eradicate the Torah. She had a taiva for this man, and therefore she went like halfway, she only had bia shole kedarka. And then she regretted it and would never do bia kedarka. Memela, there's no reason to assume that this woman was mizana bia kedarka. Meaning, in case of the Mishnah, in later on in our parak, it's talking about a girl who's just going wild. All out wild, she's mufkeres, lakurl, she's just going out and totally, you know, negating all the Torah. Then you have to suspect she doesn't have besul. But this girl says, I don't know who wrote the Sefer Chin of Chizda, he writes, maybe not. Maybe this girl had a taiva for the man, so she gave into her taiva to Bish Lekadaka, and then she regretted it, and she guarded, like the Chazon Ish is saying. That faker, this case, because she only had bia shaloi kedarka, is probably a right that she didn't do bia kedarka. The male psulim are intact. The male she has rights to the knas. So male lachrim are not so thrilled with this teretz of the Mishnah LeMelech. Let's try another teretz from the Avnei Nezer, the Sochet Shavar. So the Avnei Nezer alom the teretz. Nachma, what was the kasha? The kasha was, why don't you tell me the cases where the woman was mizana after Erisin? She's mizana after Erisin, she becomes also to the husband. Then she's still intact because she has boil shloi kedarka. Then the man is ma'aniser. So that's an example of an iser to live with her, but the kedusha is still typhus. Says the Avdei Nezer, nope, not so fast. Givaldik. Says the Avdei Nezer number 9. So if you remember, we had this sugya. What happens when a husband lives with his own wife, shloi kedarka? Does that take away from the shame besula or not? So we had a gemara. The gemara says that when the husband lives with his wife, that makes it, even if it's shloi kedarka, that makes it like a regular bia. So Dr. Taisi Shonim, so here also. Again, says the Taisi Shonim, this woman was bia shloi kedarka another man. Now, if bia shloi kedarka has a din of a bia, so then this woman was mizana, which is what the Torah says. So Memeil Zokt Avni Nezer, to the extent that this bia asur vela baila, this bia made her a ba'ul, made her an ashes ish. So therefore, this bia also now going to make her not a basula. I mean, this bia turaif something. It accomplished something. It accomplished that the act that she did is now deemed a maisa's nos. So Mamela, if this act was chashuv enough to make her an Eishes Ish, it's also going to turn her into a besul, into a ba'ul. Let's read it inside. He says, "V'nil yashav abimash kasev ritvah kedushin." But how the baal ledivra kol asa asa biyish shloikedarka? The halach is if a husband lives with his own wife, even if it's shloikedarka, he turns her into a ba'ula. Why? Tainu kishakana asa bebiyish shloikedarka. That's only when what? When he's kind to her with bia, because if the bia tuzayif to make her married, it also tuzayif to make her a ba'ula. So therefore, zaktan abdinezi here also hachanami migud ahani la'asra al baila. The Mela, so too, it's Mahani Le to make her a Ba'ula. So again, Nachama, what's Avdi Nezir's Cheshbin? The Ritva says in Kedushin that if the husband lives with his own wife with Bia Shalei Kedarka, he turns into a Ba'ula. So let's say a man goes over to a woman and says, I want to marry you with Bia. And the Bia I want to marry you with is Bia Shalei Kedarka. So it says the Ritva, in that case, she becomes a Ba'ula. Why? Because since this Bia had Chashivas, it had an ability to accomplish something, it made me married to you. So it also makes you into a Ba'ula. Masha'ekin, if let's say, for example, a regular man would be Ba'ul HaShalei Kedarkai, that Bia has no halachic significance. If it has no halachic significance, it also will not, in return, give it any other halachic significance, like I'd be being a Basula or a Ba'ul. But says the Ritva, but if the Bia that I had with this woman has halachic significance, meaning it turns her into a married woman, then it also has the ability of turning into a Ba'ul. So says the Adinezer, let's use it backwards.
Is that what Kenas is dependent on?
No, 100% not. This is what we speak about a lot.
Basulim, or is it dependent on the halachic?
That's the old Shiloh, 100%. This Ritva is not going like that, right? The old Shiloh, is it totally an actual Basulim, or is it totally in a shame Basulim? That was what we spoke about in Achleikis Rama Meravid. We spoke a lot about it. But here the Ritva is, the Adinezer is using the Ritva in a bit of a different way. The case of the Ritva is that if I live with my wife, and the beer that I do to her creates a status, and that bia also creates a ba'ula status. Here we're going the other way. We're saying that the bia she did with another man creates a status. It makes her an eishes ish zinsa. Then that bia also turns into a ba'ula. That's a bit of a jump from the case of the ritva. The Adinezer is a little bit borrowing what exactly the ritva was talking about. The ritva was talking about the man who's doing the bia is going to be affected by what he did. Here the Adinezer is saying is that if Shimon lived with Reuven's wife, and that Bia Shalei Kedarka created her into an Eishes Ish Zinsa, it's also going to make her into a Ba'ula. That's the Chiddush of the Avnei Nezer. So Mela Zok, the Avnei Nezer, that answers up the Tosfos Yeshanim's Kasha. That even though technically she might be physically a Basula, again, the Mishnah Lamelech's answer is we suspect she's no longer physically a Basula. But Eina Chanami, if she would taka still be physically a Basula, she would get Knas. The Avnei Nezer's Teretz is a Lamdisha Teretz. Says the Avnei Nezer, maybe she taka still has Basula. But she has a din of a ba'ula. Why? She only had bia shalei kedarka, and it wasn't from her husband. The teretz is, but zokta ritva, whenever the bia shalei kedarka tuzayf other halachis, then it also turns her into a ba'ula. So here also says the Avnei Nezer, since the bia made her into an eishes ish zinsa, it gave her a status, it gave her a certain dinim, it also gives her the din of a ba'ula. Now, if she's a ba'ula, she no longer gets kras, and this would also answer up Eb Kireges Kasha to why it wasn't in our Mishnah. Okay, very gishmak. Let's get back to the Gemara for a second. Says the Gemara, not so fast. We thought the nafkamina would be a chai v'asei. The Gemara says, not so fast. Why not? So the Gemara says, honey, chal Rabbi Shevav. If you like Rabbi Shevav. But ilafuke mitam Reb Simoi ka'asi shaper. If Rabbi Shevav was just coming to disprove Reb Simoi, then everything is beautiful. We'll see in Rashi in a second what this means. Eli itayma de nafshei kama. But if Reb Yeshevav is saying his own pshat. Meaning, was Rabbi Yeshevav trying to explain Rabbi Akiva, or was Rabbi Yeshevav saying his own two cents? So if Rabbi Yeshevav was trying to explain Rabbi Akiva, so beautiful. Rabbi Akiva really holds that when Kol She'en B'Yib Yisrael, the Vlad Zemamzer. Elo Itayma Denav Sheiko Amar, but if he's saying his own pshat, that Kol She'en B'Yib Yisrael Ava Mamzer, V'Afilu Chadei Asei, but if Rabbi Yeshevav, If Reb Shevav was coming to say Anu Chiddush, that any time two people live together and the baby and is living in sin, the baby is a mamzer, that would include Chavi Asei also. So if that's going to include Chavi Asei also, so then we're back to square one. What's a nafkamina? So the Gemara says, again, I will explain this more in a second, I just want to get to the end of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, no, ikibinai, we still have a nafkamina. Ba'ula likoyin gadol. What happens if a koyin gadol is mezaneh? Again, a Kohen Gadol is ma'anis, a girl who's a ba'ula. She's not a grusha, she's not an almana, but she's a ba'ula. She doesn't have any besulim. So we know a Kohen Gadol is only allowed to marry a Besula. Ki im Besula me'amo v'kach isha. So what type of... So that's only an Aseh. But you just told me that Aseh's don't have Tefisas Kedushin. So if Aseh's don't have Tefisas Kedushin, why is a Be'ula the Kohen Gadol any different than a Mitzvah V'adayimi? In fact, the Gemara, U'mayishna, why is it any different than all the other Aseh's? And for the Gemara, the Havali Aseh, she'ina shava b'koil. So the Gemara, big yisoid. That ain't a chenami.
Yeah, there's no knas by Be'ula. I don't understand.
Good. So we'll have to blin to get to next week. Seth is asking Taisvis his kasha right on the page. What are you talking about? Be'ula doesn't have knas. How can that be the case that the Kohen Gadol is ma'anis of Be'ula and that's the nafkamina? But we just talked about 2 minutes ago. So Taisvis has a pshat and Rashi has a pshat. But blin we'll have to iron out the details in next week's shir. But that's obviously.
Okay, it's like our case. Be'ula
good. That's the way Rashi talks and Taisvis talks. We'll get to that blin. Yeah, that we're going to have to iron out. But I just want to first talk a little bit about. What's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara says that Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol is the Nafkamina. Why? Because if you hold Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol, then there is Tefisas Kedusha. Which means if a Kohen would live with a Be'ula, he'd be able to make marriage. The Kedusha would go through. Therefore, if a Kohen is Ma'anis a Be'ula, so he'd have to pay Knas because it's Tefisas Kedusha. So Seth's Kash is what he's talking about. There's no Knas for a Be'ula. Good. We'll add the next one. But what was the Gemara's Kash? The Gemara's Kash is what he's talking about. That's the same Aseh as a Mitzvah Adaymi. And you just told me that there's no, that every Aseh produces a Mamz. And most is not so fast. There's different types of Aseh. What's the different types of Aseh? This is a unique Aseh because it's Eina Shava Bakoil. It doesn't apply to all people. Why doesn't it apply to all people? Because everyone else in the world is allowed to marry a Be'ula. There's only one person in the entire world who's not allowed to marry a Be'ula. And that's only a Kohen Gadol. Bishlama mitzvah adaymi. No one's allowed to marry mitzvah. No one's allowed to marry adaymi. But when it comes to aseh, who's the only person that has this limitation? The only person in the world that has this limitation is the Kohen Gadol. Fine. But Frektim Kiveger, on the next page, what are you talking about? Frektim Kiveger, what about Almanu the Kohen Gadol? What about that? That's not Shavu B'Kol. Does Shavu B'Kol mean everyone? Because you don't have that by Almana the Kohen Gadol. Almana is not allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol, but a regular Yisrael is allowed to marry an Almana. Grusha to a Kohen Hedget. A regular Jew is allowed to marry a Grusha. So why don't we call that Eina Shava B'Kol? Because it's not applicable to all Jews. What's the definition of Eina Shava B'Kol? Look at the bottom of 10b. It's like Rashi. Davle she'ena shava b'kol she'ena noig el b'kohen gadol. Avla say the mitzvah v'adoimi noig b'chol hakohol. So again, Rashi is going to two extremes. Mitzvah v'adoimi is for all of Klai Yisrael. Be'ula l'kohen gadol is only for the kohen gadol. What about the in between? What about grusha to a kohen hedget? What about amana l'kohen gadol? Those are only limited. So why don't we say those are also ena shava b'kol? And therefore, if they're ena shava b'kol, they should be on a lower level. If they should be on a lower level, they should also have Tefisas Kedushin. The Gemara is saying that you have Tefisas Kedushin because it's on a lower level, because it's not applicable by all people. So this is not the only example. Why didn't the Gemara say in the Fizah, Amon al Kain Gadol al Grusha to a Kain Hedget is also Eina Shava Bakol? So Belineda will have to get into next week, how do we define Eina Shava Bakol? And why did that make a difference? And we'll have to deal with the other kash of, how do you have Knas to a Be'ula? If she's a Be'ula by definition, she shouldn't get Knas. And Mirza Shem will get to that next week. So